It sometimes feels in America today, one writer so aptly wrote, that we went to sleep in the America of Little House on the Prairie and woke up in The Hunger Games. Interesting comparison, is it not? From an America where the First Amendment of our Constitution and its free speech provisions prevailed, to an America where there is now an all-out war on free speech. Why? Why is that happening? Many believe that colleges and universities are the root cause of this frightening and unconstitutional movement. In today's academia, colleges do more than educate, so much more. Colleges and universities shape, and they mold, and they require people to think the way they do, and adopt the attitudes that they wish them to have. They shape and form the entire next generation. And many of us who are conservative and Christians feel we should be concerned. The professors, administrators, presidents, and even the board of directors of these universities, they want to shape the future of America as they want it to be. College today is where students, and those soon to be journalists, learn that objectivity is an illusion. Isn't that somewhat scary? Objectivity is an illusion. There is no such thing as fact, these teachers say, or truth, they say further, especially in any absolutist way. Rather, all that matters is perception, that is, how what is or what happens is perceived by or matters to an individual. That's all that matters. Colleges call that leaning forward. Leaning forward. Creating new models for standards and denying the old. The college today is where soon-to-be jurists are taught that their versions of social justice ought to trump the rule of law. In short, as these new and radically changed models of truth and right emerge, and with them progressive change in social justice, all such conclusions and perceptions are all that really matters. And no matter the rule of law and all of the laws and our Constitution, they are to be ignored or rendered void in the aggressive pursuit of this new form of social justice. At the heart of these new social norms is the angry, aggressive attack on free speech. Ah, what a tragedy for America. We have all heard of the Silent Generation, the Baby Boomers, the Millennials, the Centennials, and Generation Y. Have we not? But now comes the next iteration, the next generation, the next stereotyping of the young, the birth of yet a new generation which pundits have termed Generation Z, Gen Z. The Centennials, where'd that come from? Or the plurals, where did that come from? These stereotypers, in their infinite wisdom, have included any person born in America from 1993 to the present. 1993 to the present. Hey, were you born in that time frame? Or were your children born in that time frame? Congratulations. They are now known as Gen Z, Centennials, a generation of young people who will be much larger and more powerful than Gen Y, the Millennials, or the Boomers. They will be the most powerful demographic in United States history. Gen Z will shape this nation's future, and they make up the population of the high schools and colleges and universities and grad schools of today, and they are the ones who seem to be leading the attack on free speech, or at least ignoring it, and freedom of conscience, or ignoring that, and freedom of association, or ignoring that, and freedom of press, and especially all of the rights granted by the First Amendment of our Constitution, or ignoring them. They seem to be the generation, this young demographic, which believes in speech codes, free speech zones, and aggressive behavior, even violence at times, to shut down what they term as offensive speech. Offensive speech. In colleges and universities and even high schools, they are thereby creating what one writer called an infantilized, I like that word, an infantilized campus culture, immature. And this campus culture is increasingly hostile to free expression. In fact, these new and aggressive progressive warriors believe that they and consequently others should be protected from this offensive speech, and especially the offensive speech of controversial or different thinking speakers, so that they create on college and high school campuses what is called the disinvitation season, forbidding those with differing points of view to speak. What a tragedy for America. This radical anti-free speech era, the era of the Hunger Games, is fostered by tens of thousands of professors and teachers, liberal, even radical to the core, as they seek to rebuild and reshape America in this radical progressive way. It's a real danger, my fellow Americans, a real one. They seek to eviscerate the First Amendment and all of its precious rights. They fan the flame of hatred and hostility on so many college campuses, and they even encourage the spreading of this constitutional disease to high schools. Interestingly, they, the radicals, are encouraged by the support and, most importantly, the money of men like Bill Gates and the most evil man on the face of the earth, George Soros. Personifies evil in my mind. Men and women and many more like them donating tens and tens of millions of dollars to organizations radical in nature or purpose to reshape America and even to rewrite its history. Those of us who passionately believe in free speech, no matter how supposedly offensive, are in the battle of our constitutional lives. Are you ready for the fight, or are you already in it? You really are, whether you know it or not. If you are conservative or Christian, you better believe you are in it and up to your ears. The rights which you now take for granted, like controversial dialogue on issues, or testifying or witnessing for the Christian faith, they are indeed under attack, and they may soon be banned altogether as crimes committed against someone else. A recent poll revealed that fewer than 50% of high school students agree that people should be free to say things that are simply offensive to others. Isn't that amazing? In other words, less than 50% of all high school students think that you ought to have the right under the Constitution to say what you wish, even if it is offensive to someone else. If it is, most of these Gen Z people think, these centennials, you don't have a right to say it, and you shouldn't. That speaks volumes about this generation. Again, born from and after, they say, 1993. Approximately 3 out of 4 high school students are ambivalent about the First Amendment. Can you believe that? That is, whether or not it is right with respect to free speech. And much of the rest care little or do not bother to think about the First Amendment. Many more high school students believe that citizens should not be allowed to express unpopular opinions. Keep what I do not like to hear to yourself. And most importantly and shockingly, one poll indicated that barely 1 in 5 high school students, 20%, 1 in 5, have a decent understanding of how the American constitutional system of government really works. 1 in 5. To me, that's just shocking. What a tragedy for America, and especially for those of us born before 1993. Sooner or later, we will live under the reshaped, entirely different America Gen Z will forge. I ain't looking forward to it, my fellow Americans. Are you? And again, colleges and universities are the root cause of this dictatorial and unconstitutional phenomenon. Academia has forgotten the academic freedom is a public trust. It confers on people and institutions a zone of autonomy for discovering and disseminating knowledge and debating important ideas and examining premises. And this zone of autonomy for discovering is bounded by respect for truth and for dialogue and the rights of others. Such a philosophy, such a way of academic functioning seems long gone in this day and age. And that is a tragedy for America, for Western civilization, for the handing down of traditions and values from one generation to the next, And if this is carried out to its logical conclusion, this will mean the end of democracy and our American way of life. It will, my fellow Americans, it will. Think of the progression of this anti-free speech movement. There was to begin with debate about so-called offensive speech. If the speaker's words were offensive, the listener could simply react and counteract the offensive speech, or simply not listen and walk away. End of the matter. Each exercising First Amendment rights. The speaker fully free to say whatever he or she wished, no matter how offensive that might be, and the listener fully free to not listen and walk away. No problem. First Amendment at work. And that's precisely how the First Amendment should work. But now, if your speech is in fact offensive to one, or worse, controversial, then you can be banned from speaking in public, or on campuses, or in group sessions, and certainly in classrooms. And if that so-called offensive speech occurs, the speaker can and probably will be harassed, even threatened, shut down, or even prevented altogether from speaking. Gen Z, centennials at work in all of its aggressive, mob action-like hostility toward others with differing points of view. Then, next, offensive speech rises to the level of, ready for this, hate speech. Hate speech. It seems that no one really is sure what the definition of hate speech is. Hate speech is often defined by the individual as speech which may produce the most angry reaction, the deepest and differing emotional response to what is heard. For example, if words indicate that the speaker does not agree with the gay agenda, hypothetically, the listener cries hate speech, hate against all gays as a group and the individuals therein. He who is hurt first and claims hate speech wins the day. Oh, my soul, what a world. Or perhaps abortion. To believe in the protection of the right to life of an unborn child can be labeled hate thoughts and speech. Hate thoughts and speech against women and their so-called rights to abort the life of an unborn baby. And the illustrations can go on and on in the world of Gen Z, the world of the centennials. The real problem is that many states have categorized so-called hate speech as hate crimes. That's the next progression. So that words and even actions as a result of words which produce certain deeds can be labeled as hate crimes, a whole dimension above speech, with severe penalties. Nothing can damper free speech more than that. And then the next level. There is now a movement on our college campuses and universities to label offensive speech as they view it, and hate speech as they view it as, ready for this, violent speech. That is, speech which produces violent reactions in the listener, violently harming that listener, so that the actual words themselves are viewed not as speech, but as violence. Violence. So, for example, if a Christian testifies to the need for salvation and a fundamental change in an existing un-Christian, so-called sinful, ooh, that's a bad word, sinful lifestyle through Jesus Christ, the listener can perceive that as an attack on character, resulting in a violent reaction to those words, which are themselves then viewed as actual violence. Sinful. Well, that would have been 50 years ago an absurd projection. But today, most unfortunately, it is and about to be more so reality. This is really happening, my fellow Americans. Get ready to get muzzled if, in fact, you are conservative or Christian. You are the propagator of hate speech, violent hate speech, and you are not only offensive, you are about to be labeled, my soul, criminal, 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 perhaps for testifying for Jesus Christ. And so back to college campuses. At UC Berkeley, violent mobs smashed property, set fires as they pleased. Why? Because they did not want conservative speakers to speak on campus. At Middlebury College, a bastion of progressivism, Rioting students put a professor in the hospital for daring, can you believe this, for daring to invite a controversial author to campus to speak. At Yale University, students hounded a professor to resign for suggesting that it would be wrong to outlaw insensitive Halloween costumes. Wow. And these are just three of hundreds of such incidents happening on college campuses everywhere. By the way, where does your son or daughter go? Colleges and universities, supposedly educating and shaping, actually coerce in so many ways, driving home to students what one writer called the fields of queer theory, communist economics, and a brand new form of totalitarian social justice. These radical universities offer courses in dialogue and indoctrination on topics such as, you ready for this? What is it like to navigate elementary school as a 6-year-old transgender girl? That's a college course. And another one, how have capitalist economics always and everywhere, you get those words, relied upon forms of racist domination and exclusion to grow and succeed? Unbelievable. And here's a third. Should Karl Marx be given another chance? Should Karl Marx be given another chance? Hey, communists, we're about to take over. One more. What are the legal frameworks of whiteness? Of whiteness? And how is whiteness enacted in everyday practice? Can you believe that? Whiteness. How about a course in blackness, or yellowness, or redness? What in the world is happening to our educational systems? You know, with this kind of indoctrination, is it any wonder that we the adults should be very concerned about Gen Z, what they believe, how they will act themselves as adults, and what kind of world will they fashion in which we the people will have to live in? But even at UC Berkeley, UC Berkeley, the epicenter of radicalism and anti-free speech, the university's new chancellor, Carol T. Crist, God bless her, has vowed to restore free speech on campus, saying in August the following, "It is critical for the Berkeley community to protect this right, the right of free speech, critical to protect it. Resilience is the surest form of safe space. And we would be providing you less of an education," I love that one, "less of an education if we try to protect you from ideas that you may find wrong, even noxious. We would be providing you with less of an education." Boy, ain't that the truth. Good for you, Chancellor Crist. Have at it. Have at it. But, you know, seeing is believing, especially at UC Berkeley. Or rather, hearing free speech at work is in fact believing. I'll believe it when I see it and when I hear it. Make those good words about real free speech happen, MS Crist. For if it can be done at UC Berkeley, it can be done anywhere, and I for one hope and pray it happens. And finally, state legislators are stepping up to protect expressive rights on campus. Legislation to protect free speech on campus has become law in Tennessee, Colorado, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Utah. And, thank the good Lord, there is similar legislation pending even in California. California. Well, I'll believe that when I see it passed. And Michigan. And another one. New York. I'll believe that one, too, when I see it. And Ohio. And Washington. And Wisconsin. But they're trying. Muzzling free speech on college and even high school campuses is now being recognized as a serious, incredibly serious problem, which must be dealt with now, or the harm in Gen Z and to our entire society can be permanent and disastrous. So, my fellow Americans, you are neck deep in the battle for free speech, whether you know it or not. No matter how obnoxious or how offensive speech may be, it is the unabridged constitutional right, the right granted by the First Amendment to our Constitution, to speak those words, the absolute unconditional right to do so. Congress shall make no law, or any other state for that matter, and no one should have the right to label speech as hate speech and further muzzle free speech. And no one should have the right to equate speech with violence. No one. No college campus. No state or no federal government. No one. Our founding fathers warned us that the end of free speech results in the end of democracy. Oh, were they right about that? If free speech exists no more, America itself will cease to exist, and with it, its democratic way of life, our way of life. So, my fellow Americans, fight the fight of faith and fight the fight of free speech, and fight it hard, and win or lose a fundamental right forever, forever. And again, the words of our former wonderful President Ronald Reagan, who said, "Freedom, free speech, once lost, is lost forever."